Now, back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Can't find out, but hell, I'm on my way. When the world gets heavy, you might hear me say, I'm on my way, I'm on my way, way.
Well, 35. Welcome back, Midday Grind, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Charlie Marlowe, Chris Gardner, David Solomon, Earl Austin Jr. will join us in just a second. Want to tell you about the Hollywood Casino Listener Rewards Program. 590 The Fan and InsideSTL.com present Hollywood Casino as our next Listener Rewards Program. What it is, David Solomon, two hotel rooms and a $50 food and beverage credit to Hollywood Casino for only $200. That is over 60% off for one of St. Louis's nicest hotels and casinos. Rooms can be used on back-to-back nights or split up on separate visits. Have you been to Hollywood Casino, David Solomon?
Yes, I have been there a few times.
You can enjoy a $50 food and beverage credit at one of their premier restaurants featuring 99 Hops House, Final Cut Steakhouse, Eat Up Buffet, Fat Thai, Hollywood and Grind, and Celebrity Grill. So what are you waiting for? To take part in this offer, just log on to InsideSTL.com and click on the Listener Rewards tab to enjoy this fantastic holiday deal. There are only 20 packs available, so make sure you purchase now before they are gone. So once again, you can purchase two hotel rooms and a $50 food and beverage credit to Hollywood Casino for only $200. That is over 60% off for one of St. Louis's nicest hotels and casinos. Earl Austin Jr., ready to go right now on the phone lines. Earl, how you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
Doing really well. A lot of things to talk about with you. Let's start with Billiken basketball. Out there at Madison Square Garden, we saw the great tweet from you. You made the basket out there. Did you make the basket on your first try at MSG?
Come on, man.
You're a Lindenwood Hall of Famer.
No, it's a layup. I mean, if it was a three-pointer, I'd not have been there a while, but it was a layup, so yeah, it was my first try, Charlie.
So what was it like? Now, first time broadcasting a game at MSG, had you been there before to see a game, though?
Yeah, I was there about 10 years ago. David Lee got us tickets. It was his rookie year, and we went there, so we were in town, and me and Rammer got a chance to watch him play, and then we also saw a Broadway show on that same, so that was a pretty cool it was pretty cool, but we were high up, so it really wasn't the full experience. But this time, being on the floor and being able to call a game and just being, you really felt the Garden experience for the first time. And, you know, me being a historian, it was really special.
Earl, what was better that first time, the game or the Broadway show?
The game was fun. Broadway show was good. We saw Avenue Q, which was pretty good. So, Rammer cooked that up, and we had a good time there, too.
So, Earl, the two games for SLU there at Madison Square Garden, you're taking on two teams that made the NCAA tournament last year. Virginia Tech, you get the win on Thursday, SLU does. And then, an embarrassing loss Friday against Providence. And I'm wondering, are Virginia Tech and Providence, is Providence much better than Virginia Tech? Is it a matter of SLU not playing as well? Because on the surface, you look at Virginia Tech and Providence and say, okay, two Power Five type teams, both made the tournament, and obviously the games went much differently.
Yeah, they're both comparable teams. Virginia Tech was averaging over 120 points a game, but no, three games before we played them, and it was a Herculean effort to hold them to 71, and guys did a great job defensively. And then in the next game, the third place game against Washington, Virginia Tech scored 108. So yeah, it was a tremendous effort on both ends of the court. Providence, I think our gas tank was on E a little bit, coming back on a short break, and then Providence was really good. Providence, like I said, not only made the tournament last year, but their entire nucleus is back, and they added a couple other good players, so this team was pretty loaded. They're good. They made 9 out of 10 from 3. They shot over 60% from the field, and they really were clicking. They had their A game, and like I said, the night before, against Washington, they struggled against that zone defense, and it was a 1-point game with 2 minutes to go. But we were there for about 10 minutes. It was 12-11, and they just went on a run and ran away from us. But all in all, it was very productive. You know, you play two high caliber teams from big conferences, and you come away with a split. But that Virginia Tech, that was a big credibility win for Travis, his first one really at SLU, and then for the A-10 to knock off one of the ACC's top teams and a definite tournament team. That, despite the tough loss, that big win really shines.
And I'm watching that game on Friday, and then when it's over, I go to the box score, and you mentioned it. If you were just standing, if you're a good shooter in college basketball, and you're standing in an empty gym with nobody guarding you, it's difficult to make 9 out of 10 threes, and Providence did that in a game.
Yeah, they were fantastic, and sometimes it goes like that. You know, that basket is big, and then 1-2 go in, and you feel a lot of confidence. But they moved the ball well too. They had like 32 baskets, I think 25 were assisted, something like that. And that means they're playing as a team. They're looking for each other, and you get high percentage quality shots. And Ed Cooley's done an excellent job at that program at Providence, and they look like another NCAA team.
Earl, just 4 games into the season, but is it too early to see the Billikens developing an identity as a team?
No, it is. We're a bunch of junkyard dogs. We're all about 6'5", athletic, strong, tough, physical. Going to battle you on every possession, and on games, even when the shots aren't falling, they're going to pound the glass and give you a great effort. I think that identity, you saw that from day one. Like I said, our guards are, you know, Jordan Goodwin from Altoff and DeVell Roby. They're both 6'4" and 6'5". Our forwards are basically the same size, and you know, and then we got Hassan French, who's about 6'6", 6'7", who's kind of the center, but he plays big. So you know, and they're kind of similar size wise, you know, obviously not the talent wise of that Illinois team that was great, that Flying Illini team. That's the kind of team I love to watch, that they're all kind of clones. They all can handle the ball a little bit. They all can rebound. They can block shots and play above the rim and, you know, shoot a little bit. That, you know, I grew up a Louisville fan, and they, you know, that's the type of team those guys were, and it's kind of fun watching the Billikens kind of have that kind of identity this year.
And don't you have a nickname for them?
The Billikens.
The Billikens.
The Billikens right now. Yeah, we just kind of bully people around with our, you know, just kind of young bulls out there.
Yeah, it is. It's a really fun team to watch, and you mentioned a couple of the guys. I don't want to say it's a totally new team, but you have a lot of new core pieces, and watching Jordan Goodwin, even in the first game where, you know, he struggled from the floor in his first couple games, but he's still stuffing the stat sheet and blocking shots, making steals, rebounding. Same with Javon Best. And you talk about the Billikens, tough, comes from Tom Izzo's program at Michigan State, a guy who's kind of going to do everything, even on a night where he's not scoring, and he has been. He has 22 points against Virginia Tech, but he's always going to kind of do the little things.
Yeah, and that's what's fun to watch. You know, like I said, he had a great tournament. He made the all-tournament team, had 16 in the championship game, about 7-8 rebounds, hit a couple of threes, makes his free throws. Like I said, they all kind of are versatile. And, you know, like I said, you come out of Izzo's program, you got to be tough. He played in the Final Four team. So, you know, DJ Foreman had a real solid tournament, transfer from Rutgers, 6'8", comes off the bench, and, you know, it is fun, you know, to develop. And I think the fact that we went there with basically 8 scholarship players and came away with a win playing 2 high-caliber teams, I think they've kind of banded together a little bit, and they just play hard and tough, and it's fun to watch.
We're talking with Earl Austin Jr., also joins me most Friday nights for the Fox 2 Prep Zone, talking high school football and basketball. So this past week, weekend, Earl, I'm guessing you got back. I don't know what time you got back, but I was out there on Saturday for Edwardsville when they lost to Loyola Academy out of Chicago. Did you get to any games? Did you get there for Lamar and Lutheran North?
Yes, I did. My plane landed about 11:30, and I went straight. You know, luckily I was close by. I went straight over Lucas to the Lutheran North game, and it was a great game. I mean, Lamar showed their championship medal. Lutheran North showed how good they were, and it was great football to me. I was just walking around, just, you know, it was cold, windy, rain, all the elements, Whitfield, and 2 championship caliber teams just really slugging it out, not giving an inch. And like I say, came down to a blocked extra point, and Lamar won 7-6. But I walked around just talking to fans. Now, this is football. This is football. And I had a great time. It was a great game. I mean, it was fantastic. The fans were really into it. Obviously, you're playing for a berth in the state championship game. And we talked about Luther North. They're powerful. But Lamar, you know, when you've won 48 in a row in 6 state championships, it's in your DNA. And and they made that big block, on the, and then they stopped Luther North. They were on the edge of the red zone in the final seconds, and Lamar stopped them on a 4th-and-3 and came away with a victory, but it had a great tie. Just like that, you know, that Trinity-Luther North game was 48-46, a shootout. This game was just as compelling, just as fun to watch, although it was a 7-6, you know, grind.
Yeah, that's what's crazy is you mentioned the high-scoring game versus Trinity. There's times where Luther North can put 70 on you, but you have this kind of old-school game. The weather, I'm sure, played a part because it did at the game that I saw where it was just kind of sloppy turf. And with Luther North, you know, they're not going anywhere, but you have Ronnie Perkins, who's headed to Oklahoma, and he gets a lot of the credit. But Luther North is stacked with Division I talent, guys getting offers from Florida and all over the country, not just Ronnie Perkins.
Yeah, all over the place, like you said. Jack Buford, a talented offensive defensive lineman, and he just picked up an offer from Oklahoma. You know, he visited, you know, along with Perkins, and he just picked up an offer. And like you said, Kanan Brooks, the linebacker, the running back, I believe Michigan State has offered him, and it just goes up and down the line. And they got a lot of talented kids coming back. You know, as a bouquet, as a junior, he'll be back. And yeah, it was fun to watch them this year. They really ran that ball. And like I said, Lamar was kind of, they kind of mirrored each other. They both, there was only two passes in the game. It was a 1 o'clock game, and it was over by 3 o'clock.
Two passes
the whole game, and both teams obviously well scouted. They just, Lamar's kid named Cooper Lucas was tremendous on both sides of the ball. So it was fun. It was football at its finest.
Earl, you mentioned David Lee getting you and Rammer tickets to a Knicks game back in the day. I guess it would be about roughly 12 years ago if it was David Lee's rookie season, because he announces his retirement from the NBA after 12 years yesterday. So the former Chaminade, Florida, NBA star in some regards, announces his retirement. When you look back at his career from high school through the pros, what are you going to remember about David Lee?
David Lee was tremendous. He was unbelievable. A lot of people forget he won the slam dunk contest at the McDonald's All-American game back when he was, you saw him in AAU tournaments, and he was a showstopper. Their game was on 4 or 5 courts. And David Lee was a dunking machine. And then people would stop, and they see this white kid just dunking and throwing down dunks, and people would stop on other courts just screaming. And he had that kind of effect on the game. But as a player, you know, I remember when they booed in the Garden, Spike Lee and all of them, when they picked him in the first round with that last pick, and people were going crazy in the Garden. Spike Lee, what are they doing? I'm sitting there watching the draft. I was like, yeah, you'll learn. Learned soon enough this boy can play. And then David Lee really became a darling, you know, that rookie year, and then he became an all-star and a 20-10 guy consistently in the league, made a couple of all-stars, and he went to Golden State and had to play a different role. He got hurt, and then that's when Steve Kerr, you know, Draymond Green got into the lineup. But then when David Lee became a more of an enforcer and then got that championship ring and then did a nice job for San Antonio, so he's done it all. He's won championships. He's got, you know, Drew Hamlin, his trainers, he put this stat down. He said there's only like a group of about 10 players who have like 11,000 points, 7,000 rebounds, 1,500 assists, shot 50% of the field, and won an NBA championship. And some of the guys, Tim Duncan, Shaq, LeBron, mm-hmm. Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem, Hakeem, Robert Parrish, and then David Lee's on that list. You know, that just shows you he's all around, because he was one of the great passing bigs as well. But he was a fun player to watch, and retirement ain't bad too. He's going to marry Carolyn Wells, so life is pretty good for D. Lee.
One final thing for you, Earl, and it's with your you taking your shot at Madison Square Garden. You take a shot at every new venue you go to broadcast a game.
Yes.
Where have you not taken a shot that you really want to take a shot?
I've been to Allen Fieldhouse, but it was like for a Missouri game, so I didn't get a chance to, I haven't broadcasted a game, so I like to take a shot there. And the Palestra as well in Philadelphia. I went to a game there, but haven't been able to broadcast, because, you know, you get there, the whole big crowd is there. So those are a couple of places. You know, I've been to Cameron, the Dean Dome. I've made buckets in there, and a couple other places as well. Haven't done the Yum Center in Louisville yet as well, but I've done Freedom Hall many times. But you know, obviously those old historic places where, you know, the Palestra would probably be the one place I would love to make a shot.
That's Earl Austin Jr., Bucket Getter. I'm going to call you Bucket Getter from now on. All he does is get buckets.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, it's good to hear from you guys.
You too. That's Earl Austin Jr. talking SLU, high school football, and that's a pretty nice resume of making some baskets at some of the nicest sports venues in the country. I want to tell you about the celebration, the repeal of Prohibition Day with Budweiser's limited edition 1933 Repeal Reserve Amber Lager. Iggy said he had one over the weekend that it's very, very good. It's a celebration of our freedom to brew. It's a rich amber lager with higher ABV than Budweiser and in a stubby bottle. The vintage look is inspired by the 1930s style of beer. You can find the 1933 Repeal Reserve in stores now, and consumers will want to pick it up ASAP because it's selling really fast. 590 The Fan will be hosting the Repeal of Prohibition Party at Filoni's on December 5th, the day of the Prohibition repeal. 590 The Fan will be on remote at Filoni's all day to celebrate. There will be AB Brewmasters, brand ambassadors, and special giveaways at the Prohibition Party. So keep listening as more details will come out on this great event. Hollywood Casino, of course, go to InsideSTL.com for that listener rewards information. And Chris Gardner, we have the grinder. Are we also talking Hall of Fame ballot, or is that in the grinder?
That'll be within the grinder.
How about that? Let's do it. The grinder, that is.
If you're too careful, your whole life can become a Falcon grind.
Grinding every day.
Grinding it out.
It's grind time.
This is the grinder.
The grinder.
The grinder.
24 karat gold grinder.
I'm gonna try grinder for the first time.
A few housekeeping items, Charlie.
Housekeeping?
David Lee retiring after 12 years in the NBA.
Congrats. And as Earl said, what is he, about 33?
Probably.
34, about to marry Caroline Wozniacki. You know, not my business, but I'm sure he's got a lot of money. That's a nice life.
Just under $95 million in the
Good
NBA.
For him. Good for him.
Two-time All-Star NBA
very,
champion.
Very, very solid, really nice NBA career. Has a ring.
Once again, had one game where he had 37 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists. Not only that, I found this stat fascinating. One three-pointer in his entire career.
I wonder if it was a heave at the end, you know, of a quarter. Or was it an actual shot?
Not sure. We might have to have like an oral history of that.
I bet you he remembers it, though. So we'll have him on here sometime.
We'll have him on just to discuss the one three-pointer he made in the NBA in 12 years. So that's a little bit of housekeeping there on David Lee. Some more housekeeping. Sergio Dipp returning to the Sunday Night Football Countdown broadcast. Had a little report for ESPN last night.
Sam, that's right. We're standing outside of Estadio Azteca. How big is this game? The locals are calling it the Mexican Super Bowl.
The Mexican Super Bowl. So his report went much better than the last time around for Sergio.
Here he is, having the time of his life.
But not as well as the time he won Wheel of Fortune.
A letter, please.
T!
There are two of those, yeah.
Having the time of his life.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Love me some Sergio Dipp. I'm very, very happy that he's back. And he had a nice report. And look, we've all made mistakes on air. God knows I have. And you go viral. But this kid, I mean, he's bilingual. He's got the goods. He's going to bounce back. He'll probably even profit off this. He should be doing commercials where, look, own it. You made a mistake. Have some fun with it. I'm sure there'd be a business out there that would love to have him be the pitch man and kind of have fun at his own expense and make some money off.
Why not? You're always looking to
do
make
it.
Money, Charlie. You're good at that. Few things for tomorrow, and then we're going to move on to Baseball Hall of Fame ballot stuff. But got a little tidbit about racehorses tomorrow, some chats I had over the weekend, and we might talk some electronic music in the grinder tomorrow.
A little EDM.
There's a reason why, and it revolves around the NBA, actually.
All right. All right. Also, I want to tell you about Rankin Jordan. It's the 5 for Frank that they sponsor when Martin is here. Modern medicine saves kids' lives. At Rankin Jordan, they help give kids their lives back and get them home to their families. The situation of every child and family they serve is unique. So is their care. There are huge challenges, but there is plenty of healing, joy, and hope along the way. We invite you to become a part of the Rankin Jordan family and help our kids get home. For more information about Rankin Jordan, how to donate, or about upcoming events, please visit RankinJordan.org. Rankin Jordan, transitioning kids from hospital to home.
And the final thing in the grinder, Charlie, the 2018 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot is out. First things first, hashtag vote Vlad. Let's get him in this year, folks.
Agreed.
Vladimir Guerrero.
Your guy.
I want to, my favorite baseball player of all time.
And he deserves to be in.
He does. The numbers are there. He's got the MVP award. And he was just fun to watch. Just a unique talent. So let's get Vlad in there. First year on the ballot for Chris Carpenter, Jason Isringhausen, and Scott Rolen, former Cardinals. Also, I guess a little unexpected, but it was supposed to be where the Riders, it was going to be mandatory that the Riders made their ballots public this year. At least that's what the thought was going to be. Apparently that got nixed and nobody knew that until now, that it's not going to be public information this year. So we'll have to wait and see. You can't hold everyone accountable, I guess.
Like, do you think it should be? I think it should be. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think it should be.
I don't really care either way, but what I always find interesting is the writer-on-writer crime after the votes, where everybody kind of goes after, how could you not vote for him? And that was a second place. And I just think sometimes, look, this is subjective, and some people like some things, some people like others, and focus on certain things. And I think it's better when you have, okay, 27 votes for one guy for MVP, and then somebody else gets 4 first place votes. Unless it's just absolute slam dunk unanimous. Like, for example, in the American League, I thought it would be closer in terms of first place votes for Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve. I'm fine with Jose Altuve winning. I thought that would actually be closer.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to mention this about the ballot, too. First timers, Chipper Jones, Jim Thome as well. We had a great discussion before the show.
All of our great discussions are off air.
About Jim Thome in particular. Because you were talking about perception versus reality in terms of the Giants versus Cardinals. Necessary where they're heading. You used 5 years. Let's just even say the next 3 years. That what is reality of where those teams are heading? What's the reality of, because you think Chipper Jones, you think first ballot Hall of Famer.
I do. Boom. Hall of Fame.
Jim Thome, do you think first ballot Hall of Famer? I don't. I know he's got over 600 home runs.
612.
And I asked myself, and I'm probably stereotyping here because of the size of the man. I'm like, is he ever attached to the Mitchell Report or anything like that?
Country strong boy.
Like, I asked
Peoria,
myself that
Illinois
question, though. I don't recall that, but was he? And it's probably because of how big he was. So that's unfair. But I think of 600 home runs, and I don't think of anything else. But you dug up a few numbers, didn't you?
Well, no, I just think that I agree with you that you say Chipper Jones, you think first ballot Hall of Famer. You say Jim Thome. To me, I even say, let's look. That's my reaction is, let's look. Omar Vizquel, let's look. And I just think with Thome, you know about the 612 bombs. We know, especially in the modern day, people love OBP. And I asked Hoffman and Frank before the show started, I said, what do you think Jim Tomey's career slash line was? And they said, oh, probably 260 batting average. What? I don't know, 365. Somebody said 380 OBP, probably slugs over 5. And I think that is the perception, what you would think when you say the name Jim Thome. His career batting average is 276. For a guy who hit 612 homers, his career on base percentage is 402. That's incredible.
That surprised me.
He has 1,747 career walks. 1,747 career walks. You talk about the three true outcomes. 2,500 strikeouts, 600 bombs, and over 1,700 walks. And his career slug is 554. When you look at 612 bombs and a 402 on base, to me, that is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And
the other thing, sorry to interrupt, is you think of him sometimes as a DH. He actually played a lot of third base for the Indians, and he played first base up until, let's say, his last 5 seasons, played a lot of games at first base. So he's not that Edgar Martinez DH guy.
And iconic in the way that he was probably one of the more imitatable pre-swing routine guys.
There you go.
Pointing that bat out there. Kids were emulating that. Some still might. But that's the grinder.
That's the grinder. We're going to have to go here in a second. I want to tell you about the 590 The Fan Smart Pack. What it is, it's $20. You get 20 offers for $20. And you get deals at the post, hot shots, Dirty Dogs, Maggie O's, Joe Bacardi's, Friendly's, Mike Duffy's, Stacked Burgers, Amigos Cantina, Club Taco, and Buy One, Get One races at Pole Position Raceway Karting Track. Over $200 in value for only $20. Great holiday gift. Go to InsideSTL.com. Click on the 590 The Fan Smart Pack banner. You can be in a drawing for two free Blues tickets, and you can get all these deals for $20, over $200 worth of value. The sale runs through this Sunday. Six, got to shut it down. Thanks to Chris Gardner and to David Solomon. And we have what? We have the hard line coming up next. Eric Messersmith, TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley coming your way on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
Congratulations for bringing me down. Congratulations.